Making Sense of Medicare, as the enrollment deadline swiftly approaches. When it comes to Medicare, there's plenty to confuse you. Part A, B, C, D, penalty fees, prescription drug coverage, original Medicare versus Medicare Advantage. The open enrollment deadline is this week, December 7th, and if you haven't settled on a plan, we can help you sort through some of the options. I'm Keith Shortall. More than 55 million Americans are currently enrolled in Medicare. Those who are 65 or older should reassess their health needs every year and determine what Medicare options and price points work for them. We have three experts today who can help sort through all the confusion. We'll also talk about what the future holds for Medicare under a new administration. Main Calling is next. First, this news update. From the Maine Public Radio studios, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. The open enrollment period for Medicare ends this Wednesday. If you've been putting off making decisions on the process, we can help answer some of your questions and maybe help you along a bit. With me in our studio today, Marcia Griffin is Director of Medicare Operations for Martins Point Healthcare. Todd Reagan is an independent insurance agent and owner of Maine Medicare Options. On the line with us, Ann Smith, Medicare rights advocate with Legal Services for the Elderly. And as always, we want to hear from you. Do you have questions about enrolling in Medicare or about your existing Medicare coverage? Our number is 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainpublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or paste to the Maine Post, rather, not paste, post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Welcome, all of you, to Maine Calling. We'll start with Ann. Ann, who should be paying attention to this program? Probably everyone, of course, but who is affected by it and what do they have to do by Wednesday?
Okay, for the annual open enrollment period, which runs from October 15th through December 7th every year, that's an important time for all people on Medicare to review their Part D plans and look at the review or even look at new Medicare Advantage plans that are available in 2017, because each of the Medicare Part D plans, which are the drug benefit plans, and the Medicare Advantage plans do revise their policies every year. This is the only time during the year when you can review them and have an opportunity to make a change. So this is an important period for all people who are already on Medicare. There are 10,000 people who are aging into Medicare every day. So their issue is slightly different. But for open enrollment between now and Wednesday, it's a critical time to examine your current situation and see if it's what you want to keep for 2017.
And when you talk about Part D, you said that's prescription drugs. Why would that change, for example, from year to year?
This year, for example, looking ahead to 2017, there are 26 different options for Medicare Part D plans, and those are available across the whole state of Maine. And each year, each company that provides Part D plan coverage have to put their formularies together and have their cost structures and have that reviewed by CMS. And, they're looking at their experience from 2016 and how best to serve their members. So the plan that you had for 2016 may be structured slightly differently than it in 2017, and you want to review that. Plus, your own personal pharmaceutical needs may have changed.
Sure.
And your old plan may not suit you the way a new plan might.
Okay. We'll go over this some more later and, of course, answer questions for listeners as they come in. A lot of talk this past week about privatization of Medicare, and I know none of you folks are policy folks here, but there are some examples in the existing system, including Medicare Advantage, that advocates of privatization are pointing to. Mm-hmm. And so we'll get to Medicare Advantage also in a moment and how that relates to privatization. But maybe for those who are uninitiated, Todd, we'll come to you next. Just Explain, if you would, Anne had mentioned Part D, and this is an important part to mm-hmm. do Part D. Let's go through the parts here, starting with A. Part A is kind of yep. – that's your hospitalization costs.
Right.
And, that's what you get when you turn 65.
Yeah. So Medicare has four parts. Part A covers you when you're in the hospital, in that hospital bed as an inpatient. Part B covers you outside the hospital. Really everything that's outside the hospital.
Doctors,
specialists, blood work, MRIs, all that sort of thing. And whenever you hear anyone talk about Medicare, if you read anything about Medicare, if you hear the word Medicare, that's what they're talking about, A and B. Part C and D are just laws that were created that govern sort of how the insurance plans that work with Medicare, those laws under Part C and D regulate those plans and tell those plans how to operate.
But many people may think, who haven't looked into this, oh, well, you know, you turn 65 and then something comes in the mail and it's all free and it's great. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's my insurance is all covered. But as a colleague of mine said, we were talking before, and he's going through the process of learning about this as he gets closer to his birthday. And he walked in and the consulting person he was talking to, who he said was very helpful, but said, look, this process is going to be more complicated and more expensive than you thought it was going to be. And that's the perception that this just happens magically at 65 and all of our needs
right.
are met. But in the case of, for example, Part B, there are penalties. There could be premiums. Explain how that
yeah,
works.
If you don't enroll when you turn 65 and you're not covered by either your own employer's health plan that has drug coverage or a spouse's drug employer plan that has drug coverage, then there are penalties that can accrue if you go without coverage. And it's a 10% penalty, which is 10% of the Medicare Part B premium. It's 10% is added every month for every 12-month period you go without that coverage.
No, it's just 12% for the year, per year, not for every month.
Sorry, do you have a –
Well, I meant that it's added to your monthly premium.
Okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So the in a situation I had actually recently, a gentleman enrolled with his domestic partner's plan in March, and domestic partners are not considered spouses in the Medicare system. So even though he had coverage through a partner, and just found out recently when his partner went to retire that wasn't the case. he can't enroll in Medicare until the Medicare open enrollment, which is January. And his coverage doesn't start till July. So he's effectively going without Part B from March until this coming July, which is more than 12 months. So he's going to be assessed that 10% penalty. And he will conceivably pay that for his entire life. And it will go up because the Part B premium goes up.
Okay. Complicated enough already, but
yes.
we'll keep moving forward. Part C, which you explained, Todd, is really this added part, and Marcia will bring you in here because sure. Part C is actually this program called Medicare Advantage. Explain how Medicare Advantage works. And by the way, nearly a third of beneficiaries of Medicare are signed up for Medicare Advantage, as I read. But explain what it is.
Sure. So Medicare Advantage is it's an option that you have, and it's provided through a company that's contracted with Medicare. And so through that contract, Medicare Advantage plans need to provide everything that traditional Medicare will provide for you through Medicare A and B. And then depending on which plan you're with, there could be different ways that plan is organized, and it may offer your Part D, or it may not, and it may have other benefits added to the plan, things like preventative care, or you'll see some plans have benefits that will cover a gym membership or things like that. So
So in some ways, it is privatized. That is, in this case, Martin's Point is providing the services, and then what, the government reimburses Martin's Point? How does that work?
Yep. So our the arrangement is through a contract, and so every year, in order for a plan to provide a Medicare Advantage plan, they have to go through what's called a bid process. So they submit to Medicare kind of the outline of how they would like to provide the plan, and then there's kind of a negotiation between that company and Medicare, and then they decide and kind of finalize that plan design. And then all of their materials, so everything that somebody would see through marketing or through as a member, goes to Medicare for them to review and approve. And so it's really a relationship between that company and Medicare to make sure that the member is taken care of in the best way.
Mm-hmm. As I mentioned earlier, this Medicare Advantage is being held up by Paul Ryan and other advocates of privatization as an example of how this might work. This show is not about that. We are not. If you're out there ready to call, we're not debating the benefits or merits of privatizing Medicare. But Anne, I did want to just ask you, as an advocate, do you think that Medicare Advantage is a good, I guess, example of what privatization could look like? Do you have a position?
Well, I think it is an example of privatization, and it's. I think you also need to look at the population, because Medicare Advantage is a very good option for many people, but it's a very personal decision, I think, to choose original Medicare versus and a supplement perhaps versus a Medicare Advantage plan. There are lots of moving parts, and people need to be informed consumers and get a plan that will really work for them. Plus, they need to understand how the plan works, because it. I think for people aging into Medicare who have been in managed care plans as they have been employed, it's a very easy transition because they understand deductibles, copays, and coinsurance because they've been living with that right along. But for older beneficiaries, that can be more difficult for them to grasp. And so I know there's a lot of education going out to seniors about how to understand and use their insurance. So there's no one-size-fits-all, and people need to be informed consumers and really talk with their plans. You know, if they are choosing a Martins Point plan, I know they have a lot of staff who are perfectly willing to talk with people about how does this work, what are the benefits, what are the costs, you know, how is this going to be covered. You know, because Medicare does not, as one of your panelists said, does not pay for everything, and you have to understand what you can afford, and also what your health status is, how you use your services. Original Medicare, you can go to any doctor or hospital that accepts Medicare. With a Medicare Advantage plan, you may have a network of doctors, and hospitals. You want to make sure your providers are in that network. But as an informed consumer, all that information is out there and available.
Yeah. So what do we pay? Someone's turning 65 or wants to make a change. How much could you consider having to pay, Todd, out of pocket for A and B? A is free.
If you've earned your 40 quarters for Social Security, then you've earned your Part A benefit, and then Part B has a monthly premium.
But so let's stick with Part A first.
Okay.
So I go into the hospital. I've got my free Part A. Is that 100% paid, or is there a deductible?
Like you said earlier, it's very complicated. So if you have just Medicare with no other insurance or anything, there is a deductible that you pay every 60 days in the hospital. And that's for 2017, it's $1,316. So that's why a lot of people get some sort of insurance, is to pick up those costs, because Medicare doesn't cover 100% of everything. Depending on the type of plan you have, you may have a plan that picks up 100% of that deductible. You may have another plan where you pay a certain copay per day based on how many days you're in the hospital.
Sure.
And that's the differences between some of these plans.
And for Part B, we'll continue on, for seeing your doctor or outside of hospital,
yep,
there's a premium that you pay just like you pay now if you're working.
Yeah, and that this year for 2017, it's $134. Any new enrollees will pay $134 per month.
Per month.
Per month. And in most cases, Medicare pays 80%, and then there's a 20% left over. And again, that's what these insurances pick up. They pick up that 20%, again, either 100% of that or with copays, $5 to a doctor, $10 to a doctor, sure, things like that.
And I'm curious, these costs can add up. Clearly, people are – this is subsidizing many people. But if you're older and on a fixed income – and you have a lot of medical problems, even with Medicare, you can rack up some bills, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think it's important for your audience to know that people of limited means, there may be help out there for them to pay for some of these costs. And so it's important for them, if they're struggling to pay for their premiums, they should give their local area agency on aging a call, or a respected advisor who can review their income and assets and see if they might be eligible for some help with paying their Part B and Part A expenses.
Okay, good advice. 1-800-399-3566 to join the conversation. Again, 1-800-399-3566. Let's get to some of the nuts and bolts. A case was mentioned earlier where someone is, turning 65, maybe they're retiring, but they're married to someone who is continuing to work and has coverage. Does that person have to sign up for Medicare?
If they're married, and this would apply to same-sex couples as well, if they have a spouse who is employed with full insurance coverage, they can enroll in Medicare and suspend their Part B, because Medicare will be secondary to that work insurance, and they're not basically going to need to pay that additional premium. And they won't need to enroll in Part B until their spouse is no longer working. And they have an 8-month period where they will not receive a penalty, although they should enroll in their Part B before they leave the employer coverage. The key here is, though, that coverage has to be through active employment. It cannot be a spouse who has retiree coverage. It has to be through active employment in order to suspend the Part B.
So they have the Part A. They have to sign up, or they're automatically, they don't have to sign up.
The Part A would not be at issue, because if they have, but it's the Part B which is crucial, because if they don't, as one of the other members said, if you aren't covered by active employment and you don't enroll when you're first eligible, and that would be the 3 months before your 65th birthday, the month of your 65th birthday, and the 3 months after, that's your initial enrollment period. If you fail to enroll at that point and aren't covered by active employment, you are subject to the initial enrollment period, the general enrollment period, which runs from January 1 through March 31st, and then your Part B coverage would not begin until the following July, and you would have accrued a 10% penalty for every year you could have enrolled in Part B and did not.
Okay, so this is kind of in the weeds, but say I've deferred my Part B, but I'm under Part A and I go to the hospital. Does that mean my hospital costs are automatically paid by Medicare, even if I'm under my spouse's insurance?
No, your spouse's insurance would be primary.
Okay.
Yeah, basically you're using that insurance.
But I'm still signed up, but I'm just not using it.
You're just not using it, and it wouldn't cover, if there are deductibles and copays in the spouse's insurance, Medicare would not pick those up. But it's, people need to run the numbers. It's likely that if you stay on the spouse's insurance and the coverage is working for you, that that's a good thing to do, as long as it comes from active employment.
Yeah. Todd, did you want to add something here?
No, I was just going to say exactly what she
said. Disagreeing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, your questions and comments, the number 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Casella, converting landfill gas to electricity, committed to providing clean, renewable energy for Mainers. Casella, giving resources new life. Silly's and Silly's with a Twist in Portland's East End. Open at 11 Wednesday through Friday, 9 on the weekends. With vegan and gluten-free options, sillys.com. And Dixfield Foam Insulation, offering spray insulation designed to increase energy efficiency in new and existing buildings. Dixfieldfoaminsulation.com.
The first Monday of each month is New Member Monday. What does that mean? If you've never contributed to Maine Public Radio, it means this is your day. Your day to support your public radio station for the very first time. Your day to enjoy the feeling of making public radio possible. Go to mainepublic.org right now and become a new supporting member. And thanks.
Become a member of Maine Public Radio at $35 or more, and you'll be eligible to receive the Maine Public Monthly Magazine Experience. Are you frustrated or confused with something digital in your life? From your tablet to your phone, to apps, to streaming, to on-demand, to podcasts, to whatever. If you're in the Lewiston area, join us tomorrow morning from 9 to 11 at our studios for our first digital boot camp. Maine Public is sponsoring what we're calling digital boot camps. You bring whatever device it is that needs some figuring out or explaining to one of our offices, and we'll try to help. We're in our Lewiston studios tomorrow from 9 to 11 and in Portland on Wednesday. Hope to see you, and maybe we can help. For information, visit mainepublic.org and click on events.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, answers to your Medicare questions. With me in studio, Marcia Griffin is Director of Medicare Operations for Martin's Point Healthcare. Todd Reagan is an independent insurance agent and owner of Maine Medicare Options. On the line with us, Ann Smith, Medicare rights advocate with Legal Services for the Elderly. We invite you to join the conversation. The number 800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Let's go to the phones. We'll go to Margie in Jonesboro. Hi, Margie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you doing?
Hey, happy holidays to you guys.
Same to you.
I don't get to call you guys again. at any rate, my question is, I know someone that went into the hospital, and they stayed in the hospital, and they were considered an outpatient even though they were an inpatient. So that should be explained, because when they got out, they had to pay a lot of money.
I see. Ann, you want to start?
What the caller is talking about is observation status. And sometimes people are not admitted as inpatient because, perhaps they don't have a diagnosable situation, so they are not admitted. They're under observation. And if they are not told that, are under observation or are not aware of that, and then go to a skilled nursing facility, that skilled care will not be covered. In order for that to be covered by Medicare, they have to be an inpatient for 3 overnights in a hospital. Or, you know, if they're under observation and they don't have a supplemental policy, or they don't have a Medicare Advantage plan, if they're in just original Medicare A and B with no supplement and no Medicare Advantage plan, they would be responsible for 20% of the cost of that observation stay.
And what happens then? I mean, how do we know how to protect ourselves from these costs? I mean, is there an advocacy system? Or Todd, do you want to go? Did you?
Last year, Congress passed a law that hospitals have to notify patients of their status, whether under observation or not, and that went into effect this past August. So within 48 hours, they have to notify patients of their status, and it's to prevent this sort of thing from happening in the future.
Right. But people need to be aware what that means, what observation status means.
Sure. Margie, did that help?
Yes, thank you very much. You guys are great.
All right. Nice to talk to you. Bye, Margie. Let's go to Lee in Jefferson. Hi, Lee.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good. Just a quick question. My husband and I both have Obamacare. He's 65, soon to be. So my question is, can he still stay with me on Obamacare and also get the Medicare? Or how does it work? I know they were talking about if I had insurance through my employer, which I do not.
Yeah. No. See, if do you and your husband have subsidies that help pay for the premiums of the Marketplace plan?
We do.
Yeah. See, if once your husband is eligible for Medicare, he is allowed to keep that policy, but the subsidies would disappear, and he would, when he later decided to roll in Medicare, would be subject to the general enrollment period and would have a penalty. So it's not a good idea for him to stay on the Marketplace plan.
Okay, terrific. Thanks for your help.
All right, thanks, Lee. Let's go to John in Windham. Hi, John.
Yes, I just caught a little bit of that last call. I don't know if this is the same question or not that I'm going to ask. Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call. the question is, I understand, of course, that for Medicare, and I signed up on my birth month, but you had a 3-month window before the birth month and 3 months after where you're eligible to sign up for Part B. But I was told that if you're on the exchange, that you could not wait till the 3 months afterwards. You have to immediately sign up on your birth month. I questioned that because that was going to end up costing me $300 or $400 more than what I was paying through the exchange. And I just wanted to see if that was the case or not.
I think that is the case, because when you, even though the initial enrollment period goes for the 3 months before, the month of, and the 3 months after, your coverage wouldn't begin. If you wait till after that first year, the month of your birthday, it's delayed in beginning. So you do need to do that immediately. And then you need to talk to your, I don't know whether it was an assister or your marketplace person who that helped you with your marketplace plan about disenrolling from that marketplace plan.
Well, they could. I proposed that question to him, and he couldn't answer it. I called Social Security. They couldn't answer it. I talked to Medicare people. They didn't know. And well, I was only...
John, what happens, John, is the month that you turn 65 and you're eligible for Medicare, that's the month when your tax credits stop. So even though you may still receive them, when you file your tax return at the end of the year, the government's going to go back and reassess what you should not have received, and you'll have to pay that back when you file your taxes. So when you turn 65, you lose those subsidies. So you have to, you should enroll in Medicare, because the costs are much lower than what you would pay at 65 through the marketplace.
Right. And, you know, if you were eligible for the subsidies for the marketplace, I would suggest you give a call to your local area agency on aging to see if you might be eligible for some assistance with your Medicare costs.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Good luck, John. I have to say, as an observer here in the last 20 minutes or so, much was made of how complicated the switch to Obamacare would be. The marketplaces learning about it, the infamous website that crashed. I have to say, it seems like Medicare is incredibly complicated. And I guess I'm just put it to the group here as we collect some more questions. Why can't it be simplified? Is the complexity there to provide the cheapest options? Is it for flexibility? Is it just the way we make laws and government programs? What is it? Todd, I'll start with you.
I think that's a big part of it, because it's a federal program. It's sort of been added to, and there's a lot of complexity to it. But there's the benefit to all of that is you have a lot of options. You have a variety of different types of plans that work with Medicare that offer you, in some cases, you can pay very little for your care. And others, you have a lot of protection that the insurances that pay a lot, so you don't pay a lot out of pocket. So I think even though it's very complex, it's just because there are a lot of parts that you sort of have to examine before you make your decision.
Does Medicare Advantage, do you think, simplify some of this process?
I think it does give you a way to look at it that is a little bit simpler. And I really do think that it matters on where you're coming from. So I think sometimes the complexity comes from all the different paths and different individuals. You can talk to a husband and wife, and their situations can be drastically different, and they might have solutions that are very different. One of them, a Medicare Advantage plan, can be the perfect fit, and for the other, a supplement might be a better option for them. So I think you're really looking at the individuals.
Yeah, Anne?
I think that's a very good point, and I think people, instead of being frightened about all the options, get some help looking at the options. Because even though I think sometimes people make the mistake when they're a married couple that they both just do the same thing, and it may not be the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take into consideration what people can afford, what their family histories are, what their risk tolerance is. There are a lot of things. And then what are the options available to them in their particular county, because the options for Medicare Advantage do vary by the county in which they live.
I was surprised to learn it's that local by county. What's the best place to go then to get that help that you're talking about, Anne?
Well, I mean, I would recommend beginning with the local area agency on aging, and they can be reached at 1-877-353-3771. But be aware, nobody at the agency on aging is going to make a decision for them. You know, they probably will leave the agency with some homework, and they may be recommended to call the Medicare Advantage plan that they're considering. And the individual plans do know the structures and how their plans work better than anybody else. So people need to do their homework and take some time with it And don't be scared. Just ask the questions.
And you can ask the questions of us as well. 1-800-399-3566. 1-800-399-3566 to join this conversation. Let's go to Ava in York. Hi, Ava.
Good afternoon. My question, well, first I had a comment because I was going to make this before you just brought it up. It's always interesting to me when we look at a governmental program that is purported to be put out there to assist us like this. I'm wondering, when it's so confusing, how they actually feel a consumer who has not gone through it before is going to find out and take the time to find out what is best for them. It is extremely confusing. I went through it with my mother, who's 82, and I agree with your panelist. For people to ask someone for help, but what happens is people are embarrassed or think that they lack the knowledge that they should have, but really, a lot of people don't have the knowledge base until you go through it at least one time for yourself or your spouse or a family member. So I encourage people to ask for as much help and not think it's a lack of your ability to understand it. It is extremely confusing, and I just wonder if it's put out there for that. I mean, I have friends in Canada and England. Yeah, you have a waiting period, but it's not confusing. It's very finite what you're covered for. Not a lot of options because it's, you know, free, or they pay a high tax for it. So that was my first thing. My question is individual. In the county situation, I had not realized that that was a difference maker until I had to research for the Affordable Care Act for my daughter and myself. And they kept asking me nationally in the marketplace, what county are you in? I said, well, I'm the state of Maine. What's the difference? Yes, it makes a difference. And so that surprised me. So if you say you're from York County versus something very far up north on the Canadian border, it makes a difference. So I don't know if people are aware of that.
Yeah, well, I think we've just been mentioning that. But in general,
well, it's a big difference with Medicare Advantage plans, because you have a situation like in Washington County where you only have 4 Medicare Advantage plans available. That's all you have to choose from. In Cumberland County, you have 23. So it's depending on where you live. And that's another reason why this open enrollment is so important, because if you only have 4 to choose from and next year there's a new plan, it sort of behooves you to look and see, because there might be a better plan out there that you're not even aware of because last year didn't exist.
Yeah. Okay, Ava, thank you very much. Thanks for joining the program. Let's go to Evelyn in Auburn. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome.
Well, I'm 93, and I've been on Medicare and Anthem for many, many years. I don't want the drug program because I only take one medication. Now, is there anything different I have to do, or do I just automatically stay with those two programs?
Yeah. And is Evelyn on autopilot, or should she take a second look?
It sounds to me like she has a Medicare supplement policy, and if she's happy with what she has, if she doesn't want a Part D plan, there's no point in looking at that. And if she's happy with what she has and can afford to continue paying the premium, she's fine.
Yeah. Evelyn is nodding in agreement. So I guess you can go do...
She found the right plan for her.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. We're up against break here, but we'll take one more call from Harrison. We'll go to Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. Welcome.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead, please.
My mother lives with me. She's 77. She has dementia, and it is progressing quite quickly at this point. And I didn't know if there are any specific plans that anybody knows of, or, you know, one of those 23 plans that I could try to purchase that would help. In the coming year, I can already see that there would, if there's something that, you know, can come into the house, not at the hospital, not at a doctor's office, but but, you know, come into the home, or am I only looking at help if I, you know, bring her physically to a doctor's office?
Yeah,
well, that would be a question. Probably Ann could answer this better, but okay. it's based on sort of what Medicare covers, because all of the insurance plans, both Medicare Advantage and the Medigap, the supplement plans, they all cover what Medicare covers. So if Medicare covers a service like a home health nurse and things like that, then that would also be covered by the insurance. So that's mm-hmm. something to look at what Medicare covers.
Right, and be aware Medicare will only cover part-time intermittent home care that would be prescribed by a physician. So it's not going to be, you know, I think for people who have dementia and have more long-term custodial needs, Medicare does not cover that. But it would be possible that there would be part-time intermittent care that could be covered under the home health care benefit, but there'd need to be a doctor's order for that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, your questions and comments continued. 1-800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Good Shepherd Food Bank, partnering to end hunger in Maine, harvesting hope for families in need this holiday season. Learn how you can help at feedingmaine.org. And Richard Parks Furniture, Ellsworth, committed to bringing the finest in classic and contemporary home furnishings to Maine. Details at richardparks.com.
High school students are deciding on where to go to college. Big decision, big price tag. We spent a year with some college students to see if they made the right choice.
It was about how I wanted my life to end up.
Time for exploration and really figuring out what I wanted to do.
Federal loans and stuff.
We call it 2 Mercedes a year.
Join us for College Choice, The Value of It All, an NPR News special.
That's coming up in just a few minutes from now at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio. Maine Public is announcing an exciting new comprehensive fundraising campaign, the largest in our history, $30 million, which is helping this organization grow to meet the needs of our diverse audience. We're calling it Charting a Bold Future, and the effort is designed to improve and expand our news coverage, grow our FM classical music network, make online programming even more widely available, while strengthening our overall organization. To learn how you can contribute and support Charting a Bold Future, go to mainpublic.org and click on the red donate button on the top right of the screen. Thanks.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, what you need to know about signing up for Medicare. With us today, three guests who know a lot about the ins and outs of Medicare. Todd Rakin is an independent insurance agent and owner of Maine Medicare. Marcia Griffin is Director of Medicare Operations for Martins Point Healthcare, and Ann Smith is on the line with us. She's a Medicare rights advocate with Legal Services for the Elderly. Join the conversation, the number 800-399-3566. We have an email from Lynn in Rockland who writes, "My husband and I are on Medicare as a retired teacher. He has a MEA group companion plan," that's the teachers union, "through Anthem. I am with Martins Point Generations Advantage Prime Plan. I would like to review his plan, which is significantly more costly to us, even with the state retirement paying 45% of his premium." Anyway, her point, is there anywhere online where provisions of various plans can be compared side by side, or do I just have to slog through hard copies of our plans?
Well, you can go to Medicare.gov, and there's the plan finder. You can look at and review health plans, but you would have to do a little bit of digging through the website for the individual plans that are available in her county. But that would be the first place to start, and then I would recommend she call the specific companies that she's interested in, because it would be a good idea to do a cost comparison between the two plans and make sure that they have the plan that's best for him. But if he's interested in changing, they should do that review before the end of the day on Wednesday.
And the biggest component to that when you're reviewing an employer plan or retirement plan through an employer, especially like the Teachers Association and the State of Maine employees, is that sometimes those plans don't follow the rules for Part D, so you don't have that coverage gap or donut hole. So it's a good idea to be aware of that and look at that to see if you are going to be affected by the donut hole in Part D, because that could cost you thousands of dollars. And the other plan would cover you throughout the entire year.
Uh-huh. All right, let's go to Steve Steve in Portland. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Good afternoon. Hey, my question is, I'm currently in my first year of collecting, having a supplement, and I have a pretty comprehensive supplement. And my understanding is, and the reason for doing that is because my understanding is once you do that, it's hard to go down to a lower grade supplement. And with the Advantage plan, my understanding is you can try it the first year, but you may not be able to go back to those nice supplemental plans. Is that true?
Well, in the state of Maine, and this is only true, I don't know, maybe true in another state, but in the state of Maine, there's a three-year period when you are guaranteed issued back into a Medicare supplement policy from a Medicare Advantage plan. But that's you know, you need to, it would have to happen during one of the open enrollment periods, so you have to kind of pay attention to where in the year you are when you first get your plan. As far as Medicare supplement policies go, the rule of thumb is you can always drop down to a lesser plan, but if you buy a lesser plan to start, you're not guaranteed to be able to buy a richer plan later. Does that make sense to you?
And you should also research when you're looking at that, when you're comparing plans, ask the companies if they have any policies that allow you to move. There is one company that allows you, if you have a Medicare Advantage plan with this company, you are allowed to move to a Medigap plan, and they will not look at your health at some point later on in the future.
Okay. Steve, does that help? Or?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, thank
you. All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, let's go to Rachel in Damariscotta. Hi, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I am only 37 years old, so I'm a little ways away from the whole Medicare fiasco. But my mother-in-law had to have a hysterectomy last year. And as it turned out, the hysterectomy fell in a time period that was kind of in between her private coverage care and her Medicare coverage. And unfortunately, she had been a homemaker for her whole life. So the process seemed at first to be rather easy in Medicare terms. But because she had to sign up underneath my father-in-law's Medicare, it turned out to be a really, really complicated problem and delayed her surgery by about 2 months. One of the callers mentioned earlier about not meeting that Social Security requirement, and I wonder if there's any advice that your panel members might be able to give to homemakers who might be in that area where they need to start thinking about getting their own Medicare coverage and not being blindsided as my mother-in-law was.
It's hard to know why your mother-in-law was blindsided, so I can't speak to that. But in general, if a couple is married, if one of the spouses has the 40 quarters, that counts for the other spouse. So the homemaker should not, or the stay-at-home dad, should not have a problem if they have a spouse who has premium prepaid Part A.
And even if you're divorced, you can still collect on your previous spouses.
Long as you were married for 10 years.
Correct.
Right.
Wow.
I think one piece of advice would be just to look into that with Social Security about a year before, to start kind of the process of researching and understanding your personal situation. So when it comes time for your birthday, then you kind of know exactly where you're at. You have every kind of all your ducks in a row, and you can get yourself situated right at that time.
Right. And, of course, amidst all of this detail that we're sharing, we don't know what's going to happen in the next Congress with the new administration, and we could be having a very different program in 6 months. Maybe not that fast, but we'll certainly have to keep atop this. Let's go to Griff in Topsom. Hi, Griff.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yep, you're loud and clear. Go ahead, please.
Okay. My request is that the panel, if you know, try to put out some information and direct people to where they might be able to offset whatever costs they are getting assessed for these programs. I'm retired military. I've used TRICARE and Medicare for years. I've had absolutely no complaints about it. I find that they've been very useful. I'm wondering if there are other programs like participation in public health hospitals, so-called public, run by the Department of Public Health, and other state facilities or teaching hospitals or things of that nature, or even people who providing medical care for free and clinics, that kind of thing, how it is that people can offset some of these costs. I think this whole situation, as good intentioned as it was, has resulted in an awful lot of anxiety about people who really don't need that when they're trying to just get their child taken care of or themselves taken care of, and particularly as they get older. And I'll get off the air to take your answer to that. Thank you.
Okay, Griff. Thank you. Any thoughts?
Well, I think people should be, if they're having trouble paying for the medical costs, the federally qualified health centers would be a source of lower cost medical care, or, you know, that I would look into that. Also calling your local area agency if you're on Medicare to see if you might be eligible for the Medicare savings programs, which can be a huge help to individuals. If people qualify, there are three different programs, but if they qualify for the one with the lowest income, which is called the Qualified Medicare Beneficiary Program, or Quimby, that would pay their Part B premium, as well as all their Part A and B copays and deductibles. And it makes them automatically eligible for the Part D, as in drugs, extra help. So it would save, you know, it's like it's a very good program. And then the other two, there's a specified low-income Medicare beneficiary and a qualified individual beneficiary, slightly higher income. And there are asset guidelines that go with all these programs. But that would give them, pay their Part B premium, and also give them automatically extra help with their Part D. So if people are struggling to pay these costs, I mean, there's no guarantee they will qualify, but if they do, it's worth calling the local area agency on aging and do a benefits checkup and see if there might be some help out there for them.
All right, let's go to Josephina in Cape Elizabeth. Hi, Josephina.
Hi.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I'm 82 years old. As you see, English is my second language. Sometimes I receive the papers, and it's so difficult for me to understand that I don't have anybody to ask because I live by myself. So until now, I don't have any complaint. Medicare was great for me. I have a supplement, and I feel great. But, you know, finally I begin to feel scary because people are calling and telling all that stories. So I would like to know if there is a problem suddenly appears for me, where should I go? To whom should I call and ask for help?
Well, I think we've identified the Area Agency on Aging as a good start. But Anne, any other suggestions for Josephina?
I think the Area Agency on Aging is a very good place to start, because if they're not the right place, they will give them the proper answer, you know, the proper agency to call. Yeah. So if you're having a problem with Medicare, and there is a statewide number, 1-877-353-3771, and they can get information about Medicare by calling them.
Yeah. Marcia?
The only other thing, Josephina, that I might recommend is, I know at Martin's Point we provide translation services, and I'm pretty sure most member service call centers would do that for you as well. So if you call the phone number on the back of your supplement card and say that you'd like to have translation services, those are usually available, and they can help you kind of navigate what you're going through as well.
And the agencies on aging also have that capacity.
Yeah. Josephina?
Yes, I said that in general I always managed okay, but sometimes, you know, It isn't about the language. It's sometimes about the words that are coming that are very difficult to understand. But I will call the aging office, and right now I don't need any help, but I am thinking about the future. I'm going older and older, and probably I will need help.
Right.
So I hope they will be able, I will call the aging office and see if I can have somebody to talk to.
Okay, Josephina, best of luck to you. Thanks for calling us today. Let's go to Delaine in Augusta. Hi, Delaine.
Hi there.
I don't have any questions, but I do have a comment. I haven't really heard anything on your program, which I find very, very informative, but I haven't heard anything to really explain the difference between an Advantage plan and a supplement plan. I mean, obviously, the supplement plans are more expensive, but there's also some benefits. And when I signed up for Medicare 5 years ago, I looked over the advantages, disadvantages, costs of the two different options, and I chose fortuitously to go with a supplement plan because of family history of hypertension, etc.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to cut you off. I'm sorry, Delaine, but we're right out of time. But this is an important issue, so I want to get to it, and I'll let Marcia start with you.
Sure. I'll try to do it as quickly as possible. Medicare Advantage plans, they are basically going to be kind of all-encompassing. So you'll have one company that works directly with Medicare that's going to help provide your Medicare A, B, and if you choose your D, so that drug benefit. And any questions or issues you have, you go right to that company. A supplement plan, you're going to be having your Medicare supplement. That's going to be provided through Medicare. The supplement will be with a private company. And if you need drug coverage, that will be through another company as well. So you have the three different companies that you'll be working with. So that is one difference of the two.
Todd?
Yeah, and another, when I'm sort of helping people determine which is the right type of plan to go with, you need to look at sort of the financial aspects of these plans. Medigap plan, the one most people choose, is around $200 a month. That's $2,400 a year, $24,000 in a 10-year period. Whereas with a Medicare Advantage, if you're someone who's relatively healthy and you have an opportunity to enroll in a plan that has a very low monthly premium and has very low copays, you may only spend a few hundred dollars a year, which is a few thousand dollars in a 10-year period. It's a substantial difference financially, and they do have mechanisms built in for safety to protect you financially so you don't sort of go bankrupt with these copays.
Okay.
So you need to look at those costs.
Good advice. We're out of time. I appreciate it. December 7th is the deadline, so still a couple days here to start looking around. We appreciate it very much. Ann, Marcia, Todd, thank you for joining us today. Ann Smith is Medicare rights advocate with Legal Services for the Elderly, Marcia Griffin, Director of Medicare Operations for Martins Point Healthcare, and Todd Reagan is an independent insurance agent and owner of Maine Medicare Options. Nikki Shields ran the board today. You can find past editions of Maine Calling as well as a link to our audio archives by visiting mainecalling.net. Today's program will be rebroadcast this evening at 8. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. Tomorrow on the program, join host Jennifer Rooks for the latest buzz on beekeeping. Whether you want a hive for honey or to help revive the bee population, we'll give you answers to your beekeeping questions. And I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.